السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد ووالد وما ولد لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد أيحسب أن لن يقدر عليه أحد يقول أهلكت مالا لبدا أيحسب أن لم يره أحد صدق الله العظيم. These ayat which I recited of Surah Balad, you listen to the recitation of this surah by imams in the salat and by qurra when they are having qiraat and jalsas, and we ourselves, we recite the Quran Sharif, so we come across this surah in the 30th para. It is not my desire or intention at this, in this little time that we have, to go into the tafsir of the ayat of this surah, but whilst performing the nikah, these ayat came to mind. What link there is, I don't know. When we are going to discuss it now, we will come up with some link. Nevertheless, so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this surah, Surah Balad, takes qasam of Makkatul Mukarrama. First of all is the qasam of Makkatul Mukarrama. Now we as Muslims, we have been told to take qasam of no one else besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If a person has to emphasize any point, if somebody does not want to believe him, and then he has to take qasam, then he must take qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala only. Qasam upon somebody's child and somebody's wife and somebody's mother and somebody's father, that is not permissible for a Muslim. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Allah. He can take qasam of anything. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he takes qasam, why does he take qasam? There is a whole explanation, there is a tafsir of it. There is no time to go into all those explanations. For that we must read the tafasir. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes the qasam of Makkatul Mukarrama. And the balad here means Makkatul Mukarrama. Now we know that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose Makkatul Mukarrama for the birth of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which place can be more sacred than the place that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose for the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the khulasa of kainat. In other words, Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe because He was going to send Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this world. As you have heard by now many times from me, na masjid na masjid ke oonche minare, na qibla na kaaba na makkah madina, gar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first thing that Allah Ta'ala created was the noor of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Makkatul Mukarrama is a very sacred city. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when he was making hijrat, when he was leaving Makkatul Mukarrama and going to Madina Tayyiba, at that time after coming out from Makkatul Mukarrama, he turned towards Makkah. And then he faced Makkah Sharif and he said, "Oh Makkah, I dearly love you. I dearly love you. Had it not been for my people taking me out of Makkah Mukarrama, I would not have left you. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had something which we cannot understand, His wisdom we cannot understand. If the Roza Mubarak had been in Makkah Sharif, if the Roza Mubarak had been in Makkah Sharif, Azmullah Kimod Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, whom He has explained, that if the Roza Mubarak was in Makkah Sharif, and the Kaabatullah Sharif, which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also chose Makkah Sharif for, that Kaaba Sharif is also in Makkah Mukarrama. So now there would have been two things. One side would have been the Kaaba Sharif, and the other side would have been Roza Mubarak of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Ashiq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ashiq of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his heart would have been torn into two parts. He would not have known where to sacrifice his life, or where to give all his time, and where to seek from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because now one side, his heart is being drawn towards the Kaaba Sharif. He must make tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. He wants to go to the Hajre Aswad. He wants to go to the Multazam. He wants to be under the Mizab-e Rahmat. He wants to be in the Hatim. He wants to be on drink behind the Muqam-e Ibrahim. Now his heart is one side there. And the other side, the heart is pulling that I want to go to the Rauza Mubarak and stand before my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and say, As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. So one side the ishq of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is pulling, and on the other side the ishq of the Kaabatullah Sharif is pulling. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam make hijrat, and he made his place of residence for the next 10 years in Madina Tayyiba, and then for everlasting, for all times, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam went to rest in Madina Tayyiba. But then again, as Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said, that piece of ground on which Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's body rests, it is far more greater than even the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That place of ground on which Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam's body was placed. But we must not think that na'uzubillah, now after that he is dead and he is sleeping. Allah ta'ala has given him a kind of hayat that we cannot understand. Nevertheless, so Makkatul Mukarrama was chosen by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the Kaabatullah Sharif, chosen for the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed there. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes qasam of Makkatul Mukarrama. Then he takes qasam of the parent and child. I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning of it. Now there again it has been mentioned that here the parent means the father of all, that is Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then of mankind, the child there means mankind. Many other explanations have been given, but that is not my intention to go into tafsir in this moment. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala taking qasam of parent and child. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, La uqasimu bihaza al-balad wa anta hillum bihaza al-balad wa walidim wa ma walad. So this anta hillum bihaza al-walad was an indication. It was a sign. It was to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this Makkatul Mukarrama which you are leaving and you will be made to make hijrat from. But the time will come when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will allow battle to be waged here, if it's necessary to take the life of someone in the Haram Sharif, there will be one day that will be given for that occasion, because it was haram to take the life of anyone in the Haram Sharif. But on the day of the conquest of Makkatul Mukarrama, this prohibition was raised for a while, just for that day. After that again it was restored. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the indication that one day this Makkah Sharif will again be conquered. It will come under subjugation. And each and every person here will become a Muslim. He will become a believer in you. He will become a believer in Allah Ta'ala. He will become a believer in Jannat and Jahannam, in Akhirat, on Qiyamah. So all these things have been mentioned. But the point that I want to bring across to you is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after taking all these qasams, and once again, keep that in mind that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is taking those qasam. We are not allowed to take qasam of all these other things except Allah ta'ala. And that qasam also must only be taken when there is a dire necessity. It's not that we just bring on our tongues all the time, qasam, qasam, qasam. It has become like a trend, it has become like a habit. Every little thing, qasam, qasam. Then there is no weight left of that qasam also. And especially the Quran Sharif, there's so much of disrespect that is shown to the Quran Sharif. Every little argument, take qasam on the Quran Sharif. Take qasam on the Quran Sharif. Hey, mujhse aqeedat ke daave, qanoon pe razi ghairon ke, yun bhi mujhe ruswa karte hain, aise bhi sataya jata hoon. Jab qaul o qasam lene ke liye, تقرار کی نوبت آتی ہے جب قول و قسم لینے کے لیے تقرار کی نوبت آتی ہے تب میری ضرورت پڑتی ہے ہاتھوں پہ اٹھایا جاتا ہوں. The Quran Sharif makes faryad, it laments. This is what they are doing to me. That when there is a need for qasam, that time they say, bring the Quran Sharif and take qasam. Otherwise nobody is interested in just reading what is in the Quran Sharif, or understanding what is in the Quran Sharif, or making amal on that what is in the Quran Sharif. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he takes qasam and then he says, La uqsimu bihazal balad, wa anta hillum bihazal balad, wa walidin wa ma walad, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi kabad. Again, just the gist, just the meaning, just by way of explanation, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created man in toil and struggle. The whole life of a human being is nothing but toil and struggle. And I suppose that's the link now in this nikah that took place. That if you have to look at it, the whole life of man is nothing but toil and struggle. First of all, his mother carried him in the stomach for 9 months. Then he came into this world. When he came into this world, sometime there was teething problem, diarrhea, pain in the ears, colic, this sickness, that sickness. The child goes through so many different problems in that stage of its life and doesn't have the tongue to even say to the mother that this is my problem. The child is crying, it's restless, it's twisting and turning. And we say, go to the doctor. The doctor is taking x-rays and is checking and is, but he can't seem to diagnose what the problem is. And the child knows exactly what the problem is. The doctor is diagnosing everything else and the little problem that the child is having, that there's a earache. Or it could have been something else. But Allah Ta'ala keeps the tongue away. The tongue cannot say. So look at the toil and trouble at that age. Then comes the time, now this child has to be taken to the madrasa, to the school. Again, get up early, go to the madrasa, go to the school, learn. And as you grow, and as you increase your knowledge, and as you go to the higher standards, then there is more toil and trouble. Sleep late, get up early, by heart, SWOT, learn for examinations. So much of things the person has to go through. And if the person is a father now, then after that he wants to get married. First of all, he's got to look for a job. He's got to find employment. He's got to earn some living. He's got to pay rent, light, water bills. Everyone is not fortunate that they have big inheritance to depend on. So much of toil, trouble and struggle. Then he says now he wants to get married. So he must give the mehr. And then it's fulfillment of rights of the wife again. So much of rights she has. Then to balance the rights of the wife and the mother. It's another big struggle. Especially in our times. That on the one hand there are the rights of the mother. She is the mother and she has got great rights. And on the other hand is the rights of the wife. Now if he is leaning towards the wife too much, then he may be doing injustice to the mother. And if he's leaning towards the mother too much, then he may be doing injustice to the wife. So again, there is toil and trouble and struggle, that he must balance the rights of both. He must not, at the expense of the mother, go out of his way for the wife, or at the expense of the wife, go out of his way for the mother. Both people's rights have to be balanced. Then he has to provide shelter, he has to provide clothing, he has to provide medication. Nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, just two words that the person says, I have accepted her in my marriage, is not all. Just one word, I have accepted her, or one sentence, I have accepted her in my marriage. That is having a great meaning behind it. It may sound as if the person has just said nakahtuha. Oh, he has said qabiltuha, I have accepted her in my marriage. But then after that, when the wife says that, where's the clothing, where's the shelter, where's the food? He says, when did I tell the Imam Sahib that I'm going to give you clothes and food and shelter and everything? I only said I accepted you in my marriage. So what will the person say? He'll say that what you, when you said that nakahtuha, you accepted everything. It is just like la ilaha illallah. That the moment the person says la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So it means he has accepted everything brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now he has to provide all those things. Then again, the children are born. Now look after them. Provide clothing for them. Provide education for them. Bring them up. There's no end to the toil and trouble and struggle until his dying day. Then somebody is dying in the family. Sometimes he's sick himself. Sometimes his wife is sick. Sometimes his children are sick. Sometimes his grandchildren are sick. Or somebody met up with an accident. Somebody met up with some other kind of problem. There are breakdown of marriages which causes problem. So much of struggle, so much of toil, so much of trouble the person has to go through. So therefore the person, if he knows that this is his condition, that he cannot be independent, he cannot claim that there is nobody that is above me, that my life is in my control, I can do whatever I like. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after all those qasams and after all this, and after mentioning this, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ وَوَالِدٍ وَمَا وَلَدْ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ أَيَحْسَبُ أَنْ لَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ. Does the person think that there is no one that has got full control and full power over him? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got full control over him. Allah Ta'ala has given him a bit of willpower so that for the purposes of this world he may use that willpower and do that which is right. Use that willpower and earn his living. Use that willpower and travel where he wants to go. But that same willpower must be used also to restrain himself from everything that is haram and forbidden. He must not abuse that wife, and the wife must not abuse that husband. The wife also must not think that now she can abuse the husband, because sometimes the wife is far more educated than the husband. She has got more money. She comes from a family which may have some kind of status and position. So she too must not abuse the husband. She must fulfill his rights. So she also has to go through that toil and trouble and struggle. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that, does this person think that there is no one that has got full control over him? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. And this is the point. That in these days of fitnas, and especially in the month of December, where the newspapers, the television, the magazines, all the posters and the advertisements, every area that you walk, there is nothing but invitation towards sins. All the different kinds of attractions. Whether it's a sun coast or moon coast, any kind of coast it may be, they are all inviting towards nothing but sin, nothing but haram. Come and enjoy yourself. That is what they are saying. There is no such thing as anybody is watching you. There is no question of a day of judgment. There is nothing like restriction being placed on the fulfillment of the desires of the nafs. From every side there is an attraction to zina. The beachfronts are attracting towards zina. The casinos are attracting towards nothing but haram. And all the cinemas and discos and rave clubs, everything is placed at our doorstep, everything, and extremely easy everything is made for us to go and entertain ourselves and enjoy all that haram. At that time Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, أَيَحْسَبُ أَلَّمْ يَرَهُ أَحَدْ. Does he think that nobody is watching him? Nobody is keeping an eye over him? Do we think that we have escaped the might and the force and the power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat? That man has got full control now over that cinema and the disco and the theater and over that ground that he is walking on. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't got the power anymore to shake that ground beneath his feet. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, if we have to look at the meaning of it, that did we not give him, or did we not make for him a pair of eyes? Who is it that gave us our eyes? Who is it that gave us our sight? So that Allah who has given billions of people sight, that Allah who has given billions of people sight, we think that we are not in front of His sight. He is blind, everyone else is now seeing. So that Allah Ta'ala who has given sight, He is watching everything. So we are Muslims, we are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For us to argue that all these people are enjoying themselves, so what about us? About us that is going to enjoy all those things that Allah Ta'ala has made halal for us to enjoy. There's so much things that Allah Ta'ala has made halal for us. I have mentioned many times that if Allah Ta'ala had desired that, He would have only made some dry bread and water halal for us and said everything else is haram for you because you will get in the hereafter. But look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan. How many things He made halal for us. The whole universe He created for our benefit. So much of things there are to enjoy. Go and look at the waters of the ocean, nobody stops us. Look at the waves that are flowing of the ocean, nobody stops us. What we are saying is don't watch the haram that's taking place on the shores of those oceans. Otherwise those waves of the ocean, there's ibrat in there, take lessons from there.
Nahi khatam hoti hai mauje musalsal, nahi khatam hoti hai mauje musalsal, mere bahare gham ka kinara nahi hai,
siwa tere koi hamara nahi hai. So look at the waves of the ocean, how they are flowing. One after the other, the waves continue flowing. That is how the waves of the muhabbat and the love of Allah Ta'ala must continue flowing in our hearts. And the muhabbat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the waves must continue flowing. And then, that is what should be then restraining us from doing anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in this month of December, during the holiday season, there will definitely be a lot of attraction. But for whom is that attraction? Supposed to be for those who disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala, disbelieve in the Qiyamah, disbelieve in the Day of Judgment. Then for them all those things are permissible. It is their Jannat on earth. But now we want to get their Jannat in this world. And that Jannat brings nothing but restlessness in the lives of those people who indulge in those sins. Ask all those people who are caught up in that scene and in those sins, what kind of peace and sukoon do they find in their hearts? Nothing but restlessness. After you have watched one filthy show, then you want to go to the next one and the next one. One filthy program and you want to go to the next one and the next one. The person has watched one filthy site on the internet and he wants to watch the next one and the next one. And it will continue like that. Once again, the waters of the ocean will never quench the thirst of the person because it's salty water. The more he is going to drink, the more thirsty he is going to become. In the same way, sins will never ever quench the thirst of the person. It will never bring sukoon in his heart. The more the sins he is going to indulge in, the more it is going to make him indulge in more sins. And thereafter, the more restlessness it is going to bring. The more drugs he is going to take, the higher the quantity he will have to increase the quantity. He will have to increase the dosage. And finally, he will become a mad person. He will have to jump from some building and commit suicide finally. Or he's going to strangle himself. Or he's going to die in that kind of restlessness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they want to see us happy. They want to see us enjoy the best of both worlds. They want to see us get sukoon, peace, tranquility, serenity, joy, happiness in our hearts in this world, and happiness in the qabr, and happiness in the akhirat. And that can only come when the person is prepared to take that little bit of pain on his heart, restraining himself from haram. No matter what it takes, but the person takes that pain on his heart for restraining himself from haram. Don't go to those places purposely. If you have to pass through, then pass through quickly. Restrain the gaze from haram. Restrain the hearing and speech from haram. And then see what kind of sukoon Allah Ta'ala gives in the heart. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless this marriage also with barakat, unite their hearts in love, affection and muhabbat, give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of one another, and may Allah Ta'ala protect each and every one of us from all the fitnas, the storms of fitnas which are lashing at us from all sides, especially in this month. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala bless the entire mankind with hidayat so that the world can once again become a peaceful place to live in. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين